Could you do me a favor and die on your own time? Oh, maybe God, after the show?
I'm choking on
Pekka's.
I was eating
Pekka's.
On the way over here.
You were eating what?
Pekka's.
Like the skin of the
Pekka's.
When, like, will get stuck in your throat. I have like Pekka's skin stuck in the back of my throat right now. You know what? Can you just read off my notes and just do my show? Just do the show for me this week.
Are you going to get
Pekka's
out of your throat there? Can we start the show?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to start the show and better be fucking out of your throat by the time we go.
Attention parents, what you're about to see is not suitable for kids. Shoot, it's not even suitable for some grown-ups. You might want to walk away now if you ain't into these type of things.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
I'm going to deliver the goods because I'm alive and I'm not backing down.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Disgusting, vomit-inducing thing.
Hola, creepos! Hey, Carl, why don't you fix your camera?
Oh my gosh, we didn't get the
camera
set up
correctly.
Carl,
fix your camera, Carl.
All right, I'm gonna try. Ready?
Carl, fix your own camera. Come on, Carl. Why don't you do some fucking work right here, you dickhead?
You suck at this.
Yeah, I'm the problem. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of your favorite true crime podcast, the show about creeps by creeps. For you creeps. My name is Vinny, the competent one. And there he is, ladies and gentlemen, my co-host, Hot Carl.
What is happening, Vinny Paulino? I am not centered in the frame, and it's really bugging me. Close enough.
Wow, you look great.
Thanks, buddy.
This is a great start to the show.
I mean, I just want to point out that this is all your fault. You're the one who moves this fucking camera for your other show that no one cares about. This is the problem that we're having here.
The people who pay me to produce that show care about it.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Mouthy.
Okay, if three heads likes it, I get it.
I'll fucking fight you right now.
All right.
I will fucking end you. Another episode of The Creep Off. Today we are going to talk about the biggest creep from the old boot.
That's right.
Good old Italy. My homeland.
Oh, I thought it was just Italians.
No, you got to be from Italy. We discussed this.
Oh, so I can't do Fauci this
week?
You
can't do Fauci. You can't do American-born Italians. They got to be straight from the boot.
I have 27 clips of Cuomo. I can't use that.
But you had those before.
I know.
Yeah.
I was going to use them again. They worked really well.
By the way, how many times are you allowed to bring the same person as a fucking creep?
I don't know.
You brought Biden twice.
And Cuomo twice too, right?
Cuomo twice. Yeah. Fauci, you know, he's rounding second. I'm just going to say that. He's looking at a double.
I mean, I might just start reading his emails just one by one, just 2,000 emails in a row.
Are you trying to get us kicked off of YouTube like Alex Jones?
Fair enough.
All right. So we're doing Creepiest Italian today, but we can't really move forward until we talk about last week's episode.
Last week's episode was a great one. I got a lot of good feedback. We had some fun stories on last week's episode.
If you mean by horrific,
yeah,
then fun. Yes.
Yes, right.
Agree.
What we at the Creep Off call fun.
Yes. We are deranged. We had a vote, as per usual.
Yes.
And last week, not a lot of controversy. I agreed to abide by the rule of 12 o'clock at midnight as the cutoff.
Interesting, because if you look at the vote tally right now, who's leading?
I haven't looked. It doesn't matter.
If you were to pull it up right now, I wonder what it would look like.
I wonder what it would look like if we looked at it right now.
Let's pull it up, Vinny. Let's see what's going on there.
It says you have
51%
of the vote.
I got 51% of the vote. I crushed it this week. Yeah.
Woo! Not so
Charles
fast.
Charles Cazaroos coming through. Yes.
Not so fast.
Why?
Dickhead.
What? What do you mean?
Midnight o'clock. We had the deal.
Yeah.
That's when the voting ends.
Okay.
And I went and stayed up till 12:01, at which point I passed out at my desk.
Does anyone believe this?
I have screenshots from 11:59, from 12 a.m., and from 12:01 a.m.
You're starting to sound like your hero, Stuttering John. I have
and there
screenshots.
They are.
I have evidence. Oh, and it looks like Vinny has the lead in all three of those screenshots. So Vinny wins the week.
Oh, what's that, fans?
Is that you deserve it? Is that what they're saying?
It absolutely is.
All right. Excelsior.
True believers.
Excelsior, true believers. Great job. Thank you for locking in the win for your buddy Vinny, who is now on game point.
I hate it when you win. Like, it's my least favorite thing in the world to come over here and listen to you celebrate your victories. It sucks.
Kick Carl. Super kick. Yeah, I feel like I haven't won in a while, but that is not true. I'm actually winning. It is 4-2 now.
Yes. You are at game point, my friend.
I am at game point.
I am not happy about this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man needs to spin this wheel. He needs some consequences.
All right. That's enough.
It's time to do this.
I'm going to make my comeback starting today.
Whatever you say,
Carl. As we bring the creepiest Italian. Are you ready to get started?
It's creepiest Italian not named Casey.
Oh, okay.
You can't use her either.
Okay.
All right. Go
ahead. Sounds good. Get us started, Vinny. You're the winner.
Oh, boy. That means I get to go first today.
That's right.
My creep this week?
Ooh, it's a lady.
My creep was born in the year 1893, Carl.
Oh, Jesus. Are you doing one of these? So when I was doing my research, and I'm looking at, like, these Italians from the early 20th century and
the
stuff.
The creepiest, like, of Italians.
It's so stupid. Like, if it's before...
Riper than the most fragrant olives.
If it's before electricity, I just don't care. Like, what are we talking about? The creepiest from... Born in 1890-something?
Yeah. There's electricity coming on pretty soon.
Like,
she was born a little bit before it, but
there isn't even radio at this point. What
Not
are we
even
ta-
radio.
What are we talking about?
They don't even have radio.
They don't even have radio.
All right. Well, if it helps you, her crimes were committed in 1940. Mm. So, like, there was electricity then.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. What was going on in Italy in 1940? Who are they buddying up with at that time?
That would be Hitler.
Okay, yeah.
That would be...
Just curious what was going on.
Proud members of the Axis powers, which is actually... You and I should have an Axis powers t-shirt.
We should.
Italy and Germany.
We should, and then we can get Vic's Japanese stepfather to be the third. That'd be a sweet t-shirt.
I need that Photoshop done immediately.
That's a great idea.
The Axis powers, Vinny and Carl. There it is. Somebody put the little mustache on Carl. Now,
by the way, Germany playing France tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And we know how that goes when Germany and France go at it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Deutschland.
Oh, don't yell that. Oh, she's so uncomfortable. My creep, her name is Leonarda Cianciulli.
Okay.
I like the name
Cianciulli.
Leonarda, because Italians, they just pick whatever their dad's name is and add another vowel on it.
Perfect.
Like, now you're a girl.
Is that what Stuttering John did with me when he called me Carla?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Very clever.
Now,
very clever stuff, guys.
She had a really rough childhood, this poor girl. Her mother got raped.
Of course she had a rough childhood. She was born in 1890. Nobody had a fun childhood who was born in 1890.
Well, her mother hated her guts.
She was a serf, for Christ's sakes.
Her mother hated her.
Yeah.
Because when she was like 14 years old, the mom, she got raped by some guy in the village and got knocked up.
Everyone got raped. It was 1890.
That's how they picked their wives.
That was Genghis Khan.
They
were
just
so rich
about it. They made the mother marry the guy who raped her. So this was her dad.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a fucking crazy story. She was a miserable kid. She tried to commit suicide like fucking 2 times before she was 18. She was a depression case. And if I had to describe her, who she looked like, spit an image of Olivia Soprano. Mama Soprano.
Yep. Okay, that's not an attractive woman.
So she's like 16 years old and she's already like...
Oh, I wish the Lord would take me.
She's not a happy lady, okay? Like, she just all day long bitching and moaning.
Open the window and just push me out.
Like, she's just depressed.
What a terrible character. So, it's interesting that you say that she was forced to marry the person who raped her.
Yeah.
That's actually the plot of Back to the Future 2, and I'm not making that up.
It is.
That's specifically the plot of that movie.
Well,
but okay, go ahead.
You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do to all you podcasters out there who are nice enough to have Carl on. I'm going to give Good Times, Great Movies a plug.
Yes.
Because they plugged The Creep off very well on their show.
And,
so thank you for that.
And I was on there talking about Back to the Future 2 with Doug and Jamie. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. In 1914, Cianciulli fell in love and married an office clerk. And her mother did not like this.
Okay.
This was because they decided she was going to marry somebody else. They were going to force her into a marriage. She didn't do it. And her mother put the maloika on her. Cursed her. Her mother put a curse on her. And this freaked this one out because they're old-timey Italian superstition. These people are one step fucking away from gypsies, Carl.
Right. Well, it was the 1914.
Yes,
everyone was a gypsy.
They're like, not that the curse of mom.
Everyone was a gypsy back then.
Okay. So her and her husband move to a new town. They get a new house, and the thing gets destroyed in an earthquake immediately.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be the curse.
So not only does her house get destroyed, during her marriage, 17 pregnancies, Carl.
Okay.
3 died in the womb, 10 survived birth, but died before they were 10. And then she had 4 kids who did survive, and her favorite was her son Giuseppe, who they called Little Johnny. She loved Little Johnny.
Okay.
She made a living because she opened up a little shop and she made soap. And then she started a side business because she was a very superstitious woman. She started doing fortune reading and studying the dark arts about as well as an illiterate baby machine can for the time.
Okay.
She was studying, like, you know, all sorts of stuff, and she had her little business in the back. People would come to her for advice. She'd do the crystal ball. She'd do the gypsy shit for these people. This side
Italians
business.
Are a smart bunch, aren't they? Smart fellas.
You know our buddy Brian McBride?
I do.
When he used to do the TV show with me, he told his grandmother, I'm doing a show with a guy named Vinny Paulino. And she goes, is he Italian?
What do you think?
She goes, and he goes, yeah, he is. Oh, he is. That's my Brian.
Yeah,
he is Italian. And she goes, oh, you better be careful. They're tricksters.
She's smart. Smart woman.
She should have warned him.
Here's my Brian impression. Ready?
Yeah.
Visit us in Syracuse. Hi, everybody. My name's Brian McBride. Yeah,
come to Syracuse.
Thanks for noticing me.
Fucking Eeyore.
Sad sack.
He really is.
All right. He's the best, though, in a lot of ways. He's not, though. Just trying to make him feel
bad. I ran into Brian Ball at the comedy club the other day.
Oh, what'd you do wrong?
And I forgot that he hasn't been on the Creep Off because I talked to him about being on the Creep Off. He's like, I've never been on the Creep Off. I'm like, oh, that's right. Whoops. My bad.
You didn't invite him, did you?
No. No, he told me that you told him he wasn't allowed to.
Thank you.
He's like, no, Vinny won't have me on that show. I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, because he'd be terrible at it.
Fair enough.
See, I'm doing this because I know he listens.
I'm the one who's bad at this. I can't have another person here who's bad at it.
Right.
It's my job.
1940, everything's going well.
Yeah.
Then
everything's going well.
This pesky World War II thing is getting a little out of control,
though. This woman's 50 years old, and she's reading fortunes, and you summarize that as everything's going well.
For fucking Italy? Sure. Okay. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Everybody in the town loved her, too, by the way. She was beloved.
Okay.
She was thought of as a very sweet woman. So it turns out that Little Johnny, her favorite son, was inscripted to go fight for Mussolini.
Yep.
He was a proud patriot and decided to go join the Axis powers and go to war. Leonardo lost a lot of kids. She thinks she's cursed. She's terrified that her favorite son is going to go die in this fucking war. So what does...
Did anybody die in World War II, though? I don't think it was a bloody war, right?
No, God damn it. You Germans really did whitewash this thing, didn't you? You really whitewashed this whole fucking thing.
I heard it described as the great picnic. The great European picnic, right? Didn't they just get together and play soccer and stuff?
No.
Oh, it wasn't like
later
that?
Later they did that. Way later they did that. You have this so wrong. So she's very, very upset. So she knew that there was only one thing she can do.
Okay.
Now, what do you think she decided to do, Carl?
Kill her son.
No. She didn't go Abraham. She's not like a Catholic.
Okay.
No. She's fucking into the dark arts and shit.
Sure.
In August 1940, her first victim was a lady named Faustina Setti, who was an older woman who desperately wanted a husband. She came to Chianciulla for help, and she told the woman that there was a man she was going to definitely marry who lived in a nearby town. What I need you to do is give me all of your money, send some letters to all your friends, and let them know you're moving over to this town. And this guy, by the time you get there, he's going to be so happy, and you're going to get married. And they're all dumb Italians. Like, hey, gabagool! And she fucking sends these letters, goes, gets her cash, comes back to pay Chia Julie.
Yep.
This woman, never seen again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Second story, very, very similar. This time, she told the lady she was going to help her find a job in another town. Move to this town. Tell everybody you're leaving.
Yeah.
She does the same thing. Woman goes back, pays her 3,000 lire for the help. And then this woman named Francesca Sovai disappears. Now, that was on September 5th. September 20th, a former opera singer who wanted to go into a new city named Virginia Ciapolo reportedly paid Gianciulo $50,000 for her help.
Is she a travel agent at this point?
I don't know what she's
doing.
Why
does everyone who wants to go somewhere?
She's reading the cards, and she's telling these people, you got to go here. And okay. This woman disappeared. Now, all of these women had something in common. They had nobody.
They're all stupid.
They're stupid. They're all dumb
morons with money.
All they did was write letters to tell people they're going to go move. Capocopo's sister-in-law grew very suspicious because she just disappeared. Nobody had seen anything from her. Did a little investigating. They said the last time anybody saw her was she went over to the fortune tellers, Gia Julie's.
Yeah.
So she calls the police. The police open up an investigation.
And you know where they found her? The basement of the Alamo. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a Pee-wee.
It's the wrong movie.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
That's the wrong
reference.
Goddamn movie.
Sorry.
So they bring in the
You were saying. I'm sorry, Vinny. You know what? I just keep interrupting you.
Thank Don't
you.
Interrupt me, cunt!
Okay. Fair enough.
You understand?
I do now.
Okay. They arrest her. They bring her in. And they're like, so where'd all these women go? Did you kill these women? She's like,
I did not.
And like, you did too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She's doing this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They go, aren't you ashamed of what happened here? Aren't you ashamed that everybody knows you did this? And she said,
you don't want to hear what I'm ashamed of.
She was just being all sorts of argumentative.
I like your new thing that you do now where you pick up on one thing and you just pull clips.
I'm having fun.
I like it.
I'm
digging it.
They used the right word. And the dams flooded open. They said, well, maybe we need to look into your son, Johnny. And oh, no.
Oh, I gave my life to my children on a silver platter. And this is how he replaced me.
She decided to confess.
Okay.
With all of these women, she wanted to keep her son safe. And she decided to offer blood sacrifices to the devil.
Did that work?
No, oh no, he died.
Okay. Damn
yeah,
it.
He definitely died.
That fucking Satan.
So
he sucks. He can't get anything done.
God damn it. She went into detail explaining how she made these people disappear.
I have my way.
What she did is they came back the second time after they sent the letters. She gave them a drink. She drugged the drink.
Okay.
These women fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of like strangling them, whatever, she's like, blood sacrifice to the devil. Best way to do this. A fucking axe.
Oh, the old axe to their throats.
She fucking, no, to their everything. She chopped all these women up.
Okay.
She chopped them the fuck up. So okay. Now she's got the part. She said the first victim, she threw the pieces of her body into a pot, added many kilos of caustic soda, and mixed and boiled it until the flesh dissolved into a thick, dark mush, and then was put into several buckets and dumped in a septic tank.
That is a large pot. How did she own a pot that big?
She did this for the first two. The third one, though, yeah. She was like, I'm being very wasteful here. It's a war, after all.
Sure, yeah. Got to conserve.
She ended up in the pot. This is a quote from her, like the first two. Her flesh was fat and white. When it had melted, I added a bottle of cologne. And after a long time on the boil, I was able to make some most wonderful creamy soap, which I sold in my shop.
So that really is body wash.
Yes, it is. That's the name of this episode, body wash. And she confessed she also gave bars to neighbors and acquaintances.
Thanks for giving me nothing on that, by the way.
Oh, no.
No, I deserved it. I deserved nothing. I deserved it. Thank you.
She really liked this third victim a lot. So then what she did was she let the victim's blood congeal, and she used it to bake some lovely tea cakes that she admitted she had a couple herself. You know, a good chef tastes their own food. And then she gave some to her husband and then went around and gave them to neighbors.
Oh, my.
And she said, the cakes were really delicious. That woman was really sweet. That is a quote from this fucking lunatic.
Okay.
Shockingly, Carl, they did not fucking execute her. They gave her 30 years for this in Italy.
Oh, well,
that's all you got for cannibalizing other humans and making soap out of them.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So my creepiest Italian is this fucking weird old woman who decided that the only way to protect her son was to murder a bunch of old suckers.
And it didn't work.
And it didn't even fucking
Gosh,
work.
Darn it. God damn it. Cut that part out. All right, Vinny.
Take a fucking shot at the champ.
Are you ready for the creepiest Italian?
If you say Vinny, I'm going to be not happy.
All right. The creepiest Italian. I also studied someone who was following the dark arts and a little bit of Satanism.
In the 1990s up until the early 2000s, Italy was rocked by a group of horrific ritualistic crimes. The culprit, members of a heavy metal band who called themselves the Beasts of Satan.
That's right, the Beasts of Satan was a heavy metal band in Italy.
Fuck yeah!
Fuck yeah! Devil horns, chippa, yeah! And this guy, Andrea Volpi...
Go on now.
...was in the band, and they had six members of this band. Now, they had just got...
Andrea Volpi.
Andrea Volpi. Now, there was a woman in the band, and then they got this new singer. And the singer was the youngest member of the band, 16-year-old kid, metal singer, tall, handsome guy.
The Seamus in his prime, except the, Italian.
The chick just gravitates right towards him. I mean, here you go. You got the lead singer. He's good looking.
All right.
So this turns into, you know how it was with the Beatles. It can be an issue sometimes when a woman kind of gets in the way of like what the band's trying to accomplish and stuff.
Well, you would know that with the Isotopes. I mean, they all hate Jen.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to tell you that.
What are you talking about?
I wasn't supposed to tell you that. I'm sorry.
So they decided they had to do something about this because they didn't like the fact that these two lovebirds were messing up the creative process of recording and writing death metal.
Their first two victims were 16-year-old Fabio Tallis, their former lead singer, and his girlfriend, 19-year-old Chiara Marino.
So, Chiara Marino and Fabio Tallis were out drinking at the bar that they all hang out at, and they're like, hey guys, we're going to do a ritual, because they're all Satanists. We're going to do a ritual. Come to the woods with us. So they're like, all right, yeah, let's go. So they all go there, and then they decide to murder Chiara Marino. The boyfriend, Fabio, is not happy about this. He tries to put up a little bit of a fight.
Come on, guys. You killed her all the way dead.
And as Fabio tries to intervene, he is bashed over the head with a hammer by Marco Macchione. His skull was essentially caved in. Fabio was 6'2" and 220 pounds. He was actually able to put up a defense for some time. This is known from the 64 different knife marks on his body. But eventually he was overpowered and his throat was slit. Imagine the horror and trauma of even 60 seconds of multiple people trying to kill you. It's incomprehensible. And yet poor Fabio most likely had to deal with several minutes of this.
Let that sink in for a second. Okay, so...
Oh, I tuned out. I'm sorry. His voice was really boring.
After they murdered these people, what did they do? Let's see.
Afterwards, their bodies were buried under a tree, and the group, according to their testimonies, danced, laughed, and even urinated on their graves as a final act of desecration.
That ain't funny.
This is a pretty hardcore metal band. They're murdering members of their band and then dancing and singing and urinating on them. And the guy, Andrea Volpi, was dating this girl at the time, and she knew about what happened. Well, later, Andrea and her break up, and he gets a new girlfriend. And this new girlfriend and him are huge drug addicts. They're really into heroin and coke and stuff like that.
They sound great.
They decide they're going to invite the ex-girlfriend over for dinner.
The next murder was that of Mariangela Pizzotta. She was a 27-year-old shop assistant and ex-girlfriend of Volpe. She was invited by him to dinner, and she had known about the murder of Tallis and Marino as well as the other activities the Beasts of Satan were doing, but still accepted the invitation.
So this girl's like, oh, yeah, I'll come over and hang out with you guys. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yikes.
You know, come over for dinner. They decided that because she knew too much, they had to get rid of her. So she comes over for dinner, and immediately they get into an argument.
After she arrived, Volpe got into an argument with her, and he shot her in the mouth.
How many times have you wanted to shoot a woman in the mouth that you were arguing with?
How many times do you know somebody murdered two people, danced around their bodies,
yeah,
pissed on their graves, yeah, and then decided still, after you got out of the relationship with that person, to still go to fucking dinner?
Yeah, they were still friendly with each other for
what
years.
What the fuck?
And I just love that he just shot her.
Italians are stupid.
She's like, and another problem with you. And he's just like, shut up. And just shot her in the mouth. That didn't kill her, though, Vinny.
She was still alive, so he hit her over the head repeatedly with a shovel before burying her underneath a greenhouse. Volpe, along with his fiancée, Elisabetta, decided to ditch Pizzotta's car by driving it into a lake. But en route, they got into an accident.
So this is the plan here.
Oh, no.
They shoot this woman. She doesn't die. They beat her over the head. She still doesn't die. They bury her alive.
This sounds like a shitty Woody Allen movie.
Is there such a thing?
They
bury her alive and then take her car and drive it into a river because that's how you get
rid of
the
evidence.
But
they got into an accident on the way.
But they got into an accident because they were very high on coke and heroin. In fact, after the car crash, Volpe was found walking around on the streets like a business owner was just like, call the cops. They're like, what's going on here? So the cops pick him up.
A man who looked out of his face on drugs was wandering the streets talking to himself. Police quickly dispatched, and once they arrived, they approached the man, and he is visibly upset. He's very distressed and very obviously on a lot of drugs.
So he comes up with some story about, oh yeah, I was with my girlfriend, but she left, she wanted to go somewhere else. They actually discovered that the girlfriend had OD'd in the getaway car.
Oh no.
His girlfriend had overdosed in the car he was driving, and he had run away from the car panicking. Police decided to send Volpe to the hospital along with his overdosed girlfriend.
So they both go to the hospital, and the police then go to his house, find the body.
The body of Pezzotta was discovered. Buried under a small mound of dirt, the couple had done such a bad job that her hands and feet were still visible, sticking out the surface. Even more disturbing to the officers on scene, the body was still warm.
So Volpe now obviously is confessing to these crimes because there's not a lot he's going to get away with here.
You guys like death metal. And like, he's just going to turn around to the cops and like try to explain this.
Well, what he decides to do is to throw everybody else under the bus and tell them that, like, listen, this band that I'm in, we're all part of this satanic cult, and it wasn't me. That everyone else was doing all this sorts of crazy shit.
So not only is he a creep, he's a rat.
He's a rat!
Volpe confessed to the crimes and ratted out his bandmates in exchange for a lighter sentence. While there are only three official murders, other disappearances and suicides are linked to the Beasts of Satan as well. This includes their drummer, who was repeatedly shamed and shunned, even given a heady cocktail of drugs in an attempt to push him towards suicide. They did this because he refused to participate in the murderous activities, and later on he took his car and crashed it into a wall where he died from his injuries.
Yeah, the drummer committed suicide by driving into a wall.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I'm sure they didn't just drug him and then put a brick on the fucking accelerator. Please.
So,
and by the way, I like that guy's delivery who read that. He sounds like he might be like related to Casey.
Seriously. I have a little bit of enthusiasm here. We're talking about a heinous crime. Don't act like you've been there before. Act like this is crazy.
This is insane.
So let me just read the list of other victims that have never been tied to Volpe, but this is what he confessed to. He said 23-year-old construction worker Christian Figueroa, a former member of the group, disappeared on the 14th of November, 1996. 21-year-old Andrea Ballerin, a childhood friend of Volpe, found hanged in the school he attended on May 7th, 1999. 28-year-old Angelo Lombardo, caretaker of the cemetery, and an acquaintance
of the cemetery.
Motherfucker. Caretaker of the cemetery and an acquaintance of some members of the group buried alive in the cemetery on December 14, 1999. 26-year-old Dariano Mola found hanged in the woods on the 27th of December 2000. 21-year-old Luca Colombo, a flower seller and friend of a band member, found hanged on May 5th, 2004. And 18-year-old Alberto Scaramuzzino found burned in his car in the woods on May 23rd. 2004. Do you want to hear the music of this band, Vinny?
Eh.
These guys are pretty hardcore.
I can take it or leave it, to be honest with you.
They might have some good tunes.
But let me ask you this question.
Go ahead, buddy. What do you got?
This band that you're going to play me, do they have lyrics?
They have lyrics.
So they do full songs?
Dude, check out this tune.
They do complete songs?
This is a rocker. This is a rocker right here.
What an ugly world this podcast clicking is. Get on the bus, starting fucking buttons. I said, what an ugly world this podcast clicking is. Get on the bus, you dirty sock. If you want a guy who's riding solo and doing the shit his own way, it happens at the first day. Get on the fucking bus. Get on the bus. If you guys enjoy what's happening here, stop supporting this dummy. Don't give him money. Get on the fucking bus. Get on the bus. Fuck. Get Festus and Co. Don't be a cat. These guys got a cool bike just to make friends. Play it in your show, fuck boys. I hope the best for all of you. Outside of that,
fuck yourself. Go fuck each other, actually.
All right, that was actually Adam Thoreau and his song Get on the Bus, which is my new favorite song. I can't get enough of it. So these guys loved hanging out at cemeteries, Vinny.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'll just say graveyards. That might be better for me. These guys loved hanging out at graveyards, and I thought this was fun.
They were actually known to vandalize and ransack graveyards to acquire props for their performances.
They ransack graveyards to get props for their performances.
Shit's expensive. You think Alice Cooper,
dude,
fucking always had everything made special? He would go out there and fucking dig up a couple of skulls.
Possibly. I mean, props to them for getting props from the graveyard. That's awesome. I would have loved to have seen these guys' show. So that is my creepiest Italian, Andrea Volpe, who got 30 years for the murder of a bunch of people.
My lady got 30 years for cannibalizing and making people into soap and giving it to other unwilling.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vinny. My story was modern. There was such thing
so
as
what?
Electric guitars and the internet so, when my story happened. It's
so?
A lot different than your story. Oh, World War II, did that even exist? Does anyone even know? Are there eyewitness accounts of this? Was
I'm
there any
give.
Video of it?
I actually do not have any video of it, but Kevin Eric Snell did make a very good point about My Creep.
Oh,
he
Jesus.
Said that where My Creep went wrong is that she tried to sell Italian soap.
Oh!
Yeah. Hey!
Boom!
Hey! Gabagool.
Babbity boopy!
That is this week's competition. You could vote for Leonardo Cianciulli, or you could vote for Andre Volpe at thecreepoff.com this week. And if you vote for Miss Gianciulli, someone might have to spin the wheel next week, and it's always fun when Carl spins the wheel. He doesn't like it.
Let's hold off another week, people. Let's get the vote
he
up for
really
Carl.
He really doesn't like it.
Let's get this one close this time.
It's
this
really
round.
Fun to watch.
Okay.
Let's talk bonus shows, shall we, Carl?
Yes.
We have one coming up, don't we?
We're going to record this week a Who Are These Creeps crossover.
Ooh, we're bringing back the second episode of Who Are These Creeps?
I hope you do a better job this time.
I still don't even know what we're doing.
Well, the premise is you got to find the worst true crime podcast.
Okay.
And present, and then people vote on who brought the worst true crime podcast.
Okay.
And last time, you just picked the very first result in Google, which was a bad decision on your part.
Yeah, I lost. So listen, folks, if you have any suggestions as the worst true crime podcast, send them my way.
Oh, come on.
Carl's probably got a fucking database.
You don't do any work at all. You just have a Discord and a subreddit doing all the work for you.
Now, I need to take a second. True believers, to you, my true believers.
Excelsior.
This
true
Saturday,
believers.
2 p.m. What time do you go live with WATP?
Well, I won't be live this Saturday.
Oh, you're not this Saturday? Oh, that's right.
So, the Isotopes are playing a music festival celebrating our 20 years of being a band.
So instead of that, I'm going to celebrate the real holiday there, which is kind of weird that it's Juneteenth.
Juneteenth!
It is Juneteenth, but it's also my birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Vinny.
Thank you. And I will be doing a very, very special live stream.
Really?
Yes. You know what? I'm going to do it at noon right here.
Why?
For the VN on True Believers.
Who cares? Who'd want to watch that?
It's only for the VN on True Believers.
What are you going to do, though?
It's none of your business. It's for the VN on True Believers.
Ugh.
You're not invited.
That sounds so
stupid. No kazaroos.
That sounds so boring. Who would want to watch that? What, are you going to have throw yourself a little birthday party?
Nope.
Are all your friends going to be there?
Nope. We're going to watch some videos that I have curated that I think will be a lot of fun.
Okay.
We're going to watch them together. I'm going to crack a beer like Stuttering John.
By the way, I want to point out that June 19th is also Carlmas, which is my half-birthday celebration.
Fuck you. Just fuck you.
I'm taking it over.
You're not taking... Juneteenth already took my day.
I
know. And now I got to share it with Carlmas?
Yes, Carlmas.
You know how fucking weird that was last year? Just like, yeah, my birthday's this week. What? What the fuck is Juneteenth?
Yeah, I had
a history lesson.
It's a fun one.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Yes, I know what Juneteenth is now, Mr. President. I learned. Tune in, VN on True Believers, Saturday. Keep an eye out. We're going to have some fun, and no one's invited but you. Let's do some voicemails, shall we? You ready for some voicemails?
Yeah. Have we got a sponsor?
The Creep Off voicemail segment is brought to you by the City of Syracuse, site of the new film Plan B. The director said he chose Syracuse because no one would believe it if you said Syracuse was your plan A. See you in Syracuse.
Hey, you guys see this? You guys see this in the news? See they're filming a movie in Syracuse called Plan B. Did you guys see this? You hear about this?
Shots fired. Shots fired. That was very, very funny.
All right.
I want to say thank you, Kevin Eric Snell, again. He has renamed June 19th. It is now Vinteenth.
Vinteenth!
Vinteenth is like what we celebrate at my house.
I like it.
All right. So let's start off with some voicemails. Here we go.
Hello. This is Thomas Tampon here. Vinny, I love you. You're the best part of WATC.
That's
Everyone
true.
Everyone knows it.
What?
And if people don't stop voting for Carl and start voting for Vinny, just like Vic said, I will rip Carl's dick off and put it on my own dick. I love you, Vinny. Call me back or something. I don't know.
Did he call the wrong show?
I don't know.
He's talking about WATP.
But I hope he does it. I'm not going to call him. I'm going to see what he does to you.
You want him to rip my dick off and put it on his dick?
Why not?
That would be very painful for me, Vinny. I might miss an episode or two.
I'll survive.
Well, yeah. Now that you're doing live streams without me to just your friends, I guess.
You could do a live stream for the Cuzzaroos. You could do something for your patrons. I'm doing something special for mine.
I see what's going on. This is the beginning of the end. You've now decided that you're more powerful than me, and you could do the show without me. And so now you're going to branch off. It's going to be Vinny's Creep-Off. Hey, this week on Vinny's Creep-Off, I debate myself about a guy who was born in 1524 and how creepy he was. Check out Vinny's Creep-Off.
You're more than welcome to come by.
It's going to suck.
To the Vinteenth celebration.
It's going to suck.
You can come to Vinteens.
All right. Maybe I will. Right. I'll be in the neighborhood. The show's right next door.
Yeah, just come on over at noon.
Yeah, maybe I will.
We'll do it together. Okay. It'll be a bonus episode.
Well, then
the Vinteenth celebration.
Can we invite the Cuzzaroos if I'm going to be here?
No.
I'll let you think about it. I'll let you think about it.
No, I like doing something exclusive for my V&Ms.
The Cuzzaroos are good people, too. They're fine folks.
They are fine folks. Listen, if people made a conscious choice, they like the people's champ wants to hang out with the people. All right.
Hey, Vin, this is Carl. What is it you want me to do, man? You want me to go on the very popular Anthony Cumia radio program and say, hey, Anthony Cumia, you should check out my other podcast. It's just like Jocktober, but what we do is we make fun of child rape. Now, if your child rapist ain't as funny as the other guys, you got to wear Crocs or some shit? What the fuck you want me to do here, Vin?
Yes, that's what I want you to do.
I have had that exact conversation with you before, right? That's pretty spot on.
Hey, I did give you pretty good advice on how to properly plug
and
the Creep-Off.
And I've been using that on the last two shows where I promoted the Creep-Off. I have given that description.
I also like your description, too. The one about how it's like, you know, the cocaine.
Yes. The gateway drug thing. Yeah. I got a voicemail here for us,
Minnie. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is for the Creep-Off. Fucking Vinny, and I love both you guys. Carl, I love you. Vinny, I love you. Vinny got way too fucking excited. Yeah, Carl is in his glass on. You know what? When I first took a look at him, I thought he looked a little odd at first, too. Then I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at you, Vinny, and I literally was thinking, you know what? I don't know these guys, but they're my friends because they got my sense of humor, da, da, da. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm an asshole, but I'm sticking up for Carl. Fuck any of these motherfuckers that were digging on Carl.
Thank you.
Even I make jokes about Vinny's fatness and Carl's heat. I'm a fat fuck with fucked up teeth myself.
Oh, well then.
Anyway, it just pissed me the fuck off.
That goes on and on and on. But
yeah,
anyway.
Well, that's cool, man.
I was getting teased. I forgot my glasses last week, and people weren't used to seeing me without glasses.
Yeah, we got to meet Cool Guy Carl.
And then Cool Guy Carl came out, and that worked out really well. Oh, Cool Guy Vinny! Oh! You look like Sergeant Slaughter. all right.
I'm Orange Dumbassity.
Here's another voicemail.
Hey, this is Hunter. I'm calling in for the Creep-Off because I know that fat fuck Vinny wouldn't play this, but Carl!
Yes?
Where the fuck are your fantasy baseball updates? I've been waiting all season, hoping every single show to hear how your fantasy baseball team is doing. Bring back the fantasy baseball segment on the Creep-Off. All right, don't call me back.
What's the name of your team again?
It's called Faces Loaded is my fantasy baseball team. And let me just tell you, my first baseman, Anthony Rizzo, 14-pitch at-bat that ends with a home run to a thrilled crowd at Wrigley. All right, go ahead, Vinny. You got any other voicemails?
Yeah, I do. This guy, I got to be honest with you, we have never had a caller fit so much into the 45-second time frame
and
be so absolutely correct about everything in their call.
Uh-oh.
This is the most incredible call ever.
Okay.
Okay,
So the Creepout Patreon is making $1,200 a month. If we assume that 10% of people don't actually pay and the hosts are splitting the money equally, that means Vinny is getting $540 from the podcast. A Little Caesar's pepperoni pizza is $5, but the sales tax in Rochester, New York is 8%, mm-hmm. bringing the total cost up to $5.40.
Right.
540 divided by 5.4 is only 100. A Little Caesar's pizza weighs about 2.5 pounds, meaning Vinny can only buy 250 pounds of pizza in a single month.
Right.
I mean, the last time Vinny weighed 250 pounds was when fucking Lenny Dykstra was giving Bill Clinton a blowjob under his desk.
Whoa.
You get it? There is no way that Vinny could eat his entire body weight in pizza during 1 month. It won't work out. We need to give them more money.
I mean, the math is solid right
that
there.
That is Steiner math.
That is Steiner math. He nailed it. That's hilarious.
That's the best.
The second Steiner math reference in 2 days.
Yes, yes, yes. Carl watched Steiner math for the very first time in his life the other day. And did you enjoy it?
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner is one of the funniest.
I have it right here. You want to
yeah,
see
let's check it out.
Math?
It's great.
Here's Steiner math.
This was referenced by Revenge of the Sis on our
and
show.
Carl had never seen this wrestling gem.
Scott Steiner, it's going to be a three-way for the TNA heavyweight title at Sacrifice between you, Kurt Angle, and Samoa Joe. Now, before you get there, you have an important step tonight as you and X Division champion Petey Williams
ever.
Take on the unlikely duo of Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe.
You know, they say all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Samoa Joe, and you can see that statement is not true.
Here comes the math.
See, normally, if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning.
Yeah.
But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got 25% at best. And beat me.
Okay.
Then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. So the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning.
Okay.
But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me and he's not even going to try. So Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning. If we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%, I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice.
Holy
see, but I'm gonna break it down for you, ladies.
I still love my
soul. Fact-checking.
That's one of the funniest. He almost didn't get through it. He was laughing so hard to himself.
Dude.
That was amazing.
Scott Einsteiner, ladies and gentlemen.
Perfect.
All right.
You fucking know all about this shit.
Here we go.
Hey, Carl. Hey, Vinny. I'm heading to Utah for 8 weeks, and I thought while I'm there, I'll find the creepiest person every week in Utah. Like the, whatever that dumb town is that he sponsors every week for the voicemail segment. So I got the first creep of the week from Utah. His name is Ronnie Lee Gardner. He killed an attorney, battled multiple cops, and his girlfriend at the trial handed him a gun, and he shot 25 people in the courtroom.
Wow.
And then he ran away and killed himself. So that is the creepiest person in Utah for the week.
Thank you.
I'll be back next week with my creepiest creep of Utah. So, yeah.
Charisma is dripping
off this
guy.
Don't call me back, because I'll call in.
I like him.
I
share our interests.
I do like that creep that he pointed out. That's
well done.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll talk to you again next week. We look forward to hearing more creeps from Utah. I believe it's time for the Scum Parade. You ready to go?
Watch out for the Scum Parade.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start off in Castro Valley, California, where an Amazon delivery driver had a little bit of a tiff with a 67-year-old customer. Now, footage shows that a person identified as the driver striking the woman around her head. According to the story, the woman asked the driver, Itzel Ramirez, on the whereabouts of her package that she had a notification was delivered to her apartment building.
You'll get it when you get it. I hate these people.
Yeah. So she just stood there standing over this Amazon worker who's just trying to, like, load stuff in and out of the place.
Amazon delivery people is the last noble profession.
They work
These are the
so
people
hard.
Working on the front lines. I refuse to believe that any of them do anything wrong. They deserve our respect.
I think they should be able to open hand smack someone twice a year. Oh, I think yeah. I'd be fine with that.
If they're wronged by somebody, of course.
Yes, I'm with you. She says to this woman after waiting 15 minutes for her package, woman said to have questioned Ramirez again, kicking off what was described as a violent dispute. Smith, the victim, was recorded saying something to the effect of, you don't need to be a bitch about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the Amazon driver. And the Amazon driver said, what did you just say to me? And ladies and gentlemen, I have the video right here of what happens after you say to someone, don't be a bitch.
Oh, boom.
Ready? Ready? Ready?
Jesus Christ.
Uppercut.
Oh,
jeez.
Uppercut right to the face.
That's a reason to not bother the Amazon workers.
Well, look at this woman was practicing her white privilege. Mm-hmm. She thought she could order something on the internet and have it delivered right to her apartment complex. And thank goodness for this Amazon employee for showing her that that's not the way it works.
Yes. So our creep was this lady who got punched in the head.
Right.
For hassling our brave Amazon workers.
That was my takeaway as well, Vinny.
Now, unfortunately, the police didn't agree. Ramirez was arrested on suspicion of battery, causing serious bodily harm and elder abuse. According to the outlet, her bail has been set at $100,000. I said it like Dr. Steve, $100,000.
You know what? I'm kind of disappointed that that woman remained on her feet. I feel like if I was going to attack a 67-year-old woman, I'd take her down.
If I uppercutted a 67-year-old woman like that, I guarantee you she leaves her feet.
Oh, yeah,
I guarantee you she leaves her feet.
I would lay her flat. This Ramirez chick is a pussy. Try harder. Do better.
And, you know, we know you work for Amazon, so we'll give you a pass. But do better. I agree.
I believe that they're going to have a rematch right before Logan Paul fights Tyson on the next pay-per-view event.
I want to see this lady versus Logan Paul.
I'll take either of the Paul brothers versus this 67-year-old woman, this punching bag of a woman.
She won't go down.
It's the biggest YouTube celebrities to ever fight. The 67-year-old Amazon.
I mean, watch her. She takes a fucking hit. Look at this. Boom. Yeah. Boom. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
These are all
eight,
sucker
nine,
punches.
10.
Yep.
And then 11. And I mean, if you watch the whole thing, not only that, like when he gets to the back of it, she like picks up her shit. She drops all of her stuff that's in her hand. Obviously, she's trying to cover her head.
Yeah.
She's trying to cover her head.
She dropped her cool girl sunglasses.
Yeah. By God, King, it's a slobber knocker.
Oh my gosh. They're still arguing with each other after that?
Yeah. And this lady's like, I'm going to get myself together. That lady does not necessarily look 67.
No, and also...
But she does look like a punching bag, so...
As soon as... So she gets punched 11 times in a row, and then they have some words. We don't know what the words are. But then this woman just, like, casually turns her back to the Amazon delivery person and just opens her door. I feel like I would be concerned about getting sucker punched again.
Yeah. J-Ed just won the YouTube chat for the day. What he went? It's clobbering time! That one, it might beat Body Wash for the name of this episode. Nice. I don't know. So let's talk about a creepy cop, shall we?
Yep.
Investigators say that Albert Kuhn, 37, responded to a car wreck. In March 2020 in Minneapolis, the Minnesota State Patrol officer arrested a 25-year-old woman on suspicion she had been driving under the influence.
Okay.
It was then that Kuhn took the woman's phone and went through it. And found some very intimate photos of her.
Okay.
And what do you think he did with this?
I don't know. Probably gave the phone back to the woman after enjoying some nudes.
No. He was like, no, I really like these nudes.
Oh, he liked them a lot. Okay.
Yeah, so what he did was he texted them to himself.
Oh, dude, you got to airdrop that shit.
From her phone.
You got to airdrop the nudes. You don't text the nudes. Oh, come on.
Yeah,
amateur move.
This girl had an Android. The woman was treated at a hospital and released, then returned home to find her boyfriend using her laptop.
Yep.
The Star Tribune reported her phone was linked to the computer and recorded that nude photos had been sent to an unknown number.
That's an iPhone.
Now, the trooper pled guilty Tuesday to sending the nude photos of the woman from his phone to his own while she was being detained. But this guy calls him and says, who is this? And he goes, this is Trooper Kuhn. It's like, oh, did you text some pictures to yourself? And the guy was like, hey, listen, man, we could talk about this, right? Like, this cop immediately was like, oh, yeah. No. So they reported him, and they found the photos on the cop's device. Kuhn was charged with stalking with bias, and due to a plea deal he fulfilled, with Tuesday's admission, the charges then downgraded to non-consensual dissemination of private sexual images, which is a misdemeanor. But he did lose his job, so.
All right. So, once again, and I blame the news media, they leave out a very important piece of information from this story. How big were her tits? They never talk about boob size. Not once in the article. I read it five times. Do they explain to us what her boob size was?
You know, back in the day, that would have been like the woman, 32 D cup, pulled over by police officer.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the headline. And now they're not even putting in the story at all. Journalism school is failing us.
Here we go. This is a fucking disturbing one, Carl.
Okay.
My buddy PNW Brotato sent me this one in the Discord. This happened in Philadelphia. A 29-year-old woman named Danielle Sebenick, Glensdale, Pennsylvania, was sentenced to 7 years in prison and 10 years of supervised release for her distribution and possession of child pornography.
Okay.
Now, did you see the mugshot of this woman?
I did.
She looks like an Isotopes dancer, kind of. She looks like she'd make the cut.
How dare you?
Right?
Sure, we'd love to have her at the ice to tell us when she gets out in 7 years.
You don't, though. Oh, you don't want this one around. This one's going to be a problem.
Okay.
She pled guilty to charges stemming from an investigation into her trafficking in videos of child pornography on the internet during November 2018 while she was employed at Kids First Swim School.
Mm.
Authorities identified Sebnick as the administrator of an online site that was dedicated to the sexual abuse and exploitation of children. I love that
she was an admin.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they had admins for things like that. Like, does she have a business card that goes along with
it's
that?
It's so weird. This is like, we're talking about a 29-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Who's hanging out with fucking pedos.
Right.
Who are the creepiest people on earth. And honestly, this is like the pedo version of Vic. Like, just the girl who hangs out with the weirdos for no reason.
Why do you keep ragging on Vic? What did she do to you?
I'm just saying. She doesn't, like, normally girls wouldn't associate with your show.
I see what
you're Vic
saying.
But Vic is, like, just hangs out with, like, the fucking weirdos. This girl hangs out with the fucking weirdos.
She doesn't just hang out with them. She's the admin.
She's
running
admin. The
website that the weirdos exchange child porn on.
Now, you ready for the kicker?
Yeah.
At the time that she committed these crimes, she was 6 months pregnant with her first child. And during this, she had communications with other sex offenders discussing her plans on how she can't wait to have her baby so she could abuse it after she gives birth.
All right. I'd like to know what position specifically she was planning on enjoying with her newborn infant. Because babies suck at everything.
Yeah.
I would assume sex would be included in the list of things.
I hear
that
they're good
at
nipple play.
Terrible.
I hear babies are good at nipple play.
Ugh.
Now, I don't know this for a fact. I've just heard that they can latch.
Fair enough.
I've heard that babies can latch.
Fair enough.
Okay. So
I actually watched my sister breastfeed for a couple of dollars, and I agree with you. That was a Dave Attell joke.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah.
So I was watching my sister breastfeed for a couple bucks, and
it's funny when he says it.
It's funny when he says it.
It is. She gave birth in prison, and the child was placed into the custody of family members and hopefully kept away from her for a while. So she is in jail. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
It's very creepy. That's a creep. That's somebody we would consider a creep on this show.
Yeah, that is a 4-star creep.
Yeah, she's a scum. She's a scum creator.
Should we start like a rating system for creeps?
There's too many things we have to do on this show, Vinny.
But we can talk it just for our own lingo.
Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. So let's come up with a rating system, and I want to see on the tiers what qualifies for each tier.
Okay.
Okay.
I will take your suggestion. Carl, I'm going to show you a video.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you what's going on in this video. I'm going to show you the video, and then I'm going to tell you what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a warning on this. This is, I kept it on because it's not nice.
Okay. All right. So we're looking at a big apartment building.
And there's a child screaming.
There's a child screaming.
And there's a man just walking slowly looking up towards the building.
Yep. Towards the woman or the child that's screaming. We can't see the child screaming. But it's got to be above the fifth floor because we can only see the first five floors.
Right. And then the guy looks a little concerned.
Yeah.
And now he's running up the stairs. Now there's this woman who's getting into an elevator in a pink shirt. And she's just... looks kind of nonchalant, right? Kind of cash.
Well, she looks like she's going somewhere. Like she's kind of impatient.
I think she might be wearing Crocs. I can't tell from this angle. Those are Crocs. No, sandals.
Just sandals.
And now she has a baby that she's holding and carrying.
Oh, boy.
And she's just holding the baby.
Looks like a doll.
Yeah, it looks like a doll. Baby ain't moving. Kid ain't moving.
Yeah, like a doll.
Yeah. Yeah. Flopping it around.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is a big Uh-oh, what happened here?
All right, so what do we got here, Vinny? So okay. We hear a child screaming, and then we see a mom going down an elevator and then coming back up with a motionless baby. What are we talking about?
Fucking Russia, man.
Yeah.
That woman's name is Anna Ronzakina, and that man was a witness to this woman taking her baby, her three-year-old daughter, and hanging her by her shirt out over the balcony as punishment for misbehaving.
No, we were just playing. Blanket, let's just play.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Shirt didn't hold.
Oh.
And that kid went 60 feet straight down to the concrete.
So her thought was to go down there and shake the kid to bring it back to life. It's not a stereo. She can't just hit it on the side and have it like work again.
This mother, this dude saw what happened.
Yeah.
And saw the kid like hit the ground. And he ran and got help and called 911. The mom didn't wait there for help. She grabbed the kid and tried to hide it. That's why she went out there, picked up the kid, walked back into the elevator with the lifeless child, got in the elevator, and took it back up to her house.
So this is the Russian Casey Anthony, is what we're seeing here. Question for you, Vinny.
Yeah.
You saw what the mom looks like.
I did.
Would you hit that?
With a bus.
All right. I don't know. I mean, she was a single mother, and now you got that out of the way.
So makes her neighbors even hotter. We're like, what the fuck happened? What the fuck happened? As she's like trying to bring the baby back, and she goes, she did it herself. She fell herself.
Right.
I told her not to.
Yeah, she climbed over the railing and just jumped.
That guy at the
suicidal
seed.
Suicidal three-year-old.
That guy at the seed saw her dangling the fucking
right.
baby.
Yeah.
And that is the ripped shirt. So Ronzakina is 23 years old, and she's accused of the murder, has been arrested. She faces up to 21 years jail. If
she'll be in her 40s by then. They should let her out sooner than that.
Oh, dude. Russian woman at 40 that's been in prison for 21 years.
I want to hear the 911 call from when she's at a bar in the future and getting into fights with people throwing drinks at her.
That's funny. I guess that is the Scub Parade for this week, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed the show. Carl, did you have a nice time today?
I had a wonderful time with you today, Vinny, surprisingly.
Don't forget to join me for the Vinteenth celebration.
So weird.
And we're going to do the
Who Are These Creeps?
Episode 2
it's
coming
like
up Wednesday.
Something. That was impressive.
Coming up on Wednesday. It's a good time to be a Patreon member. Don't forget to join up this week, and we're going to have some fun with you. So, Carl, without any further ado, it's nice to be important.
But it's more important to be nice.
Gagia!
I don't like that talk! Go on, go into the ham and take the carving knife and stab me. Gagia!
Shame! Oh, I got plenty of shame. Just
push me out.
This is stupid!
Peckers.